If you make a resolution to eat more healthy foods in the new year, you may have to think a lot about the food available on the grocery shelves. And we have some history this morning of how that food changed to include a lot more high fructose corn syrup. It was originally invented in the 1950s as a sweetener alternative. Never really got big until Duane Andreas came along. NPR's history podcast, Throughline, has been looking at the way one company took a little-used product and changed the American diet. Here are our hosts, Ramtin Arablouei and Rond Abdelfatah.
You may have never heard of him, but in the 1970s, Duane Andreas was one of the biggest names in the U.S. He was a politically connected CEO of one of the country's biggest agricultural companies, Archer Daniels Midland, or ADM. And by the time he ran across high fructose corn syrup,
it was a product in search of a use.
That's Tom Philpott, a journalist and researcher who's written extensively about American agriculture.
So he's got this product, and it's a sweetener, and it's really, really sweet. But the problem is that it's too expensive.
He can't sell it at a price that's competitive with regular old cane sugar. So ADM comes up with a scheme. The politically savvy Duane Andreas was going to find a way to turn high fructose corn syrup into cash.
And the President of the United States.
President Ronald Reagan steps up to a podium. It's a crisp fall day, and he's wearing a long tan coat over his usual suit and tie. At the podium, he's dwarfed by an enormous metal bin behind him, a bin filled to the brim with corn.
This is quite a show you're putting on here. And what a pleasure it is for me to be back home in Illinois.
He's speaking to a crowd gathered at a family-run farm in the heart of America's Corn Belt.
Year after year, here in the Midwest, you produce from your rich black earth a bountiful harvest called the American equivalent of the oil riches in the Persian Gulf.
Ronald Reagan defeated Jimmy Carter in 1980 and became president in 1981. His presidential campaign was full of patriotism. On the campaign trail, he promised to put profit back in farming and put farmers' interest above the world market. And for Duane Andreas, this rhetoric presented an opportunity.
Jimmy Carter leaves office in 1980. Ronald Reagan takes over. For most people, that's a big contrast. To Duane Andreas, it's just a political power player. He's just as tight with Ronald Reagan. And so he goes to work with his lobbying to create a quota on sugar.
A quota on sugar. Basically, Duane Andreas' plan was to promote the idea of putting limits on foreign sugar to protect domestic sugar companies.
There's this history of colonialism and slavery in the Caribbean. And with decolonization in the 20th century, there's still these awful sugar plantations that are able to produce sugar really cheap. And this sugar is coming in and sort of overwhelming the American market.
Sugar producers in states like Florida are organizing, like,
how can we stop this? And they get a key ally in Duane Andreas.
He throws his support behind them. Like, yeah, absolutely. We got to put Florida's sugar farmers first. We got to slow down the importing of foreign sugar.
So what the sugar quota does is, it says only a certain amount of, and a rather small amount of foreign sugar can come into the United States. And once you've hit that quota, imports of sugar are banned. And so that is protecting the domestic sugar industry.
But you might be asking,
why would Duane Andreas do that?
Yeah, why would he help the competition in the sweetener market? It's because he's thinking bigger.
It turns out that because there's this quota in place, it raises the price of sugar because American producers are no longer competing with producers in the Caribbean. So the price of sugar rises fairly steeply, and now suddenly high fructose corn syrup is cheaper than conventional sugar, and it's also a liquid.
A liquid that could go into pretty much any processed food.
And he immediately starts making deals with Coca-Cola and other soft drink manufacturers. You've got to try this stuff. It's cheaper. It's blindingly sweet. You know, you only have to use so much of it. And then slowly other industries start to find uses for it. It goes into baked goods, TV dinner makers. It just, you know, takes this market by storm.
And what about the sugar industry? Did they realize they were being duped?
I think the sugar industry was none too pleased with this development, but they, you know, they made their deal with the devil and they lived with it.
High fructose corn syrup isn't used as much today as it was in the late 1980s. But high fructose corn syrup and other corn-based sweeteners still make up a big portion of the sweetener market. And per capita, Americans are among the biggest consumers of sweeteners in the world. And excessive consumption of these sweeteners is associated with all kinds of health problems, like obesity, diabetes, and high cholesterol. You could argue that they've changed our bodies, our sense of taste, and even the way our societies function.
The genius of the system is that you don't think about any of that when you're enjoying it. We have this system that is in place that we are all part of. You know, we were born into this system where we have all these really unhealthy foods at our disposal for very cheap. But systems don't arise out of nowhere. They're made by people. And I think it's really important for us to, as we look at these systems and we examine them, well, who are the people that were behind them? Who are the architects of these systems?
Tom Philpott speaking with Throughline hosts Ron Abdel-Fattah and Ramtin Arablouei. You can listen to the whole episode wherever you hear podcasts.